We had a lot of college graduations this weekend, including Duke and North Carolina. Lots and lots of new college graduates heading the job market now. And what are they going to be finding?
Well, you know, it's not as good a job market as it was, obviously, a few years ago when there was just this complete land grab for recent grads. It's even a little bit worse than it was last year or the fall. And part of that has to do with the uncertainty that is kind of running through the economy. As you mentioned, we now have a 90-day pause on the tariff. So maybe if there's a final deal announced, that some of the employers will open up and say, okay, we understand what the landscape is. But it's tough. You know, recent grads have been some of the first people that were laid off as the economy started to slow down this year. So we know that the unemployment rate for those who are 22 to 27 with college degrees, a little bit worse. But you know what? There are jobs out there. The labor market has not collapsed. And what is important is, as you, or you're giving advice to your recent grad, as you enter this job market, you do so being a little bit more sober and maybe not hoping for the dream job, but a job.
And I think, Jill, one of the things that we have seen more and more in recent years is the fact that for most people, one job is going to be just one of a multitude that they'll have over the course of their career.
Oh, absolutely. And I thought this was interesting because, you know, I went out and I sort of wanted to crowdsource some advice for graduates. And I got a lot of people who were helping me out, and they'd also made me kind of dive into some data. But the Labor Department found that even oldsters like me, like I'm a late Gen Xer, right? And you know, but or even baby boomers, they hold an average of almost 13 jobs from 18 to 56. Now, even if you say, well, my gosh, the jobs that, you know, let's say you scrub out the first few years, that's still a lot of jobs. And so your first job, it's important, it's a milestone, but it's the beginning of your career journey. It's going to take you to a lot of places. So I was really interested to find out that some of the younger people who are giving the advice, you know, things like practice interviews or making sure that having a job with benefits is really good. Like I know this woman, she's a small business owner. She wrote in to me and she's like, hey, great health insurance and a 401k can be amazing. And that's a really good anchor as you begin your life. And she's like, when I first started, before I started my company, I wanted to make sure that I had those pieces in place.
Now, for those who are just starting this journey, one of the things you, of course, have is the resume. How important is that resume to get to that first step?
I mean, look, it's important to work hard at creating a one-page identity of yourself, okay? And nobody needs to see a two-page resume, ever. I'm a full believer in that. But what is also important is that you do other things, like conduct practice interviews, like being able to consider other jobs in other areas, and making sure that you're practicing those interviews for the job you're applying for. And, I thought this was very interesting. I didn't put it in my blog post, but, you know, somebody who was older, who was going back into the career force, they were saying practice interviews were important to them because they were interviewing with people who were, you know, in some cases, 20, 25 years younger than they are. They were pivoting from media, let's say old-fashioned traditional media, and they were going into social media. And then all of a sudden, the people interviewing them were so much younger. And I found that so interesting because they were like, it was important for me to practice with their friends of their own children. To say, like, how do you conduct an interview? Because it's different. We came through, you know, I'm older than you probably, but, like, I came through with, like, very specific ways that people conduct interviews. It's changing. And so make sure that you're practicing in an appropriate way for the position that you are applying for.
One thing that I always found helped was to do a little bit of research about the organization you're interviewing with so that you know some questions to ask them, too.
I cannot agree with you more. I find that, listen, I owned a company for 15 years, and I always thought it was so important for people to really take this seriously enough so that they knew something about your company, right? About where you're applying. And the information is out there and available. It's much easier to hop on LinkedIn and get the information that you need, right? And I can't believe how many people don't do that. but it is a very critical aspect that you're going in and you're preparing for that interview. And, you know, look, if you're going to dog the interview, all I can say is, you know, it's a waste of everybody's time. And so if you're not going to go in prepared, then don't do the interview. But you really have to be clear. This is an important part of the process. And, you know, if you are somebody who's never really comfortable doing an interview in person, practice that. Be clear that you can make your changes, you can make adjustments, but don't go in there and wait and waste someone's time. By the way, how do you feel about thank you notes?
Well, I always like them myself.
Yeah, me too. You know why? I think we're people of a certain age. I think that a lot of younger people kind of say, you know, maybe shoot off an email and thank somebody. I think it breaks through when you write a handwritten note or you send a way in, and to really talk about how you feel that this, you know, what happened in that interview process, or even if someone just helped you. If I say to you, like, hey, Tony, can you go talk to my nephew? He wants to get into radio. And you say, sure. Now, once my nephew goes in and talks to you, and just as a child, not even an interview, a thank you note. That is a very important part of the process because you're building your network by doing that. And that, to me, is one of the things that's really missed in the younger folks' approach, which is every connection you make is your network. It's not just your parents' friends or your parents' colleagues. These are important things that you can maintain.
I have seen that so many times over the years. Jill, one more thing before we have to go. Reports this week, do we have any of those coming out that are going to be important?
Well, tomorrow morning we are going to have an inflation report. And, you know, I think the whole world is sort of turning upside down right now. It feels like there's news every day, and sometimes it's not actually reflected in the report. So I'm not sure whether we're going to get a tick up in inflation or not, because gas prices are down pretty dramatically. But I do think that these inflation reports become important in the coming, you know, weeks and months, especially as we know that there's this 90-day pause right now with China while there's a negotiation. We're going to wait to see whether we're paying more for stuff and how all of us react to that. You know, what I do feel like is we are hopefully beyond this worry that we are going to see some horrible Christmas holiday season because of tariffs, but things are slowing down anyway. So we're just going to keep an eye on that and make sure that prices aren't going up just as the economy is slowing down.
Jill, as always, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Take care. Bye-bye.